welcome everybody to Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Jawanza for Life. Thank you, thank you, thank you to Au. This is going to be a fabulous show. I can tell you right now, I want to say welcome, everyone. I see the phone lines are lit. The word went out, and you all responded, and I am just very, very fortunate and humbled to bring you another powerful show with a very, very powerful, powerful guest. First, let me just, again, thank everybody for tuning in. You could be doing a lot of different things, but you've taken time out of your day and your busy schedule to share an hour or so with my person and my special guest today. For many of you who are on a spiritual path, you know the importance of not just receiving information, but receiving good information. You know, we've all heard the phrase information is power, right? Yeah, information is powerful, but even wrong information is powerful. Somebody could give you the wrong information and you can do the wrong thing, and that wrong information has the power to derail you. So when you have an opportunity, and we all have an opportunity, to hear from someone who is constantly, constantly feeding us good information, then we have to honor that person, and we have to listen, and not just listen. After we listen, we have to act on what it is that we hear. So, with that said, I want to get to our special guest for the hour, okay? My special guest today, as you know, is Shechem Shechem, Dr. Ra'un Nefer Amen. Now, if you're just born yesterday and you don't know who Shechem Shechem is, let me tell you a little bit about Shechem Shechem. Dr. Ra'un Nefer Amen is a world-renowned best-selling author, lecturer, spiritual teacher, health practitioner, and counselor. He is the Shechem Shechem, and or shall I say, the King of Kings of and Ashem or Ashemu, as the chief priest of the Osir or Set Society International, and with chapters in over 30 cities around the world, which he founded in Harlem more than 40 years ago. His kingship was officially recognized in 1985 by the Asante Hene, which is the Asante King of Kings in Ghana, when he was given the Epo, or that's the stool, the Epo stool, and the title of Odenheu. I hope I messed that up. Okay, that's Odenheu. Sorry about that, Shechem Shechem. He is the author of spiritual books, the Meduna Ter, volumes 1 through 7, the 11 Laws of God, Ma'at, the 11 Laws of God, Nuk on the Ter, the world's first and only correct translation of the so-called Egyptian Book of the Dead, and we are very blessed to have him again as my special guest today. He also authored Bazi, the I Ching. The I Ching. He's written books on the I Ching, Qigong. I mean, and now his latest work is titled Light on Kundalini Yoga, and again, we are very, very blessed and fortunate to have as my special guest today someone who is, again, world-renowned, has followers all over the world. His books and lectures have transformed the lives of countless people. And, again, we are very fortunate today to have another opportunity to sit at the feet of Shechem Shechem, King of Kings of the Osir or Set Society, Dr. Ra'un Nefer Amen. Thank you so much for being my guest today. It's always a pleasure when I have an opportunity to speak with you. Appreciate you being on again. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me, sir.
It's my pleasure. Shechem Shechem, again, the phone lines are lit. People, when they knew that you were coming on, they flocked to the phones. I saw people sharing the links on Facebook and different places, people just wanting not just to hear you themselves, but to hear, you know, and want to make sure that other people hear you too. And your latest work, Light on Kundalini Yoga, Self-Realization and Union with God, I know this is going to be another monumental work. With all of the books that you've written, what led to the writing of this particular work?
Okay, first let me begin by thanking all of your listeners that have, you know, taken time out to come and listen this evening and to share the information with others. It's much appreciated. This book, right, is a culmination of about, I would say, 43 years of work, personal work and, you know, discovery and working with students, thousands of students all over the world. You know, in other words, you know, yoga, meditation, you know, are practical, you know, systems. And you need to experiment, you need to practice and get verification. I mean, it's not an intellectual exercise. You need to do something, you know, put something into practice. If it works, you know you have something. If it doesn't work, you know that the intellectual, you know, statement, no matter how articulate it sounds, is worthless. So 43 years of work. And let me begin by saying that, you know, when people hear light on Kundalini Yoga, the Kundalini, the yoga part of the statement, that says, oh, I'm familiar with this. You know, I've read books on this. I've gone to places and done some chakra work and worked in Kundalini. I've done yoga and so on. So this book is not a book to clarify, you know, the known practice, the popular practice of yoga and Kundalini Yoga. This book is new material, totally different from anything that people, when I say people, I mean the majority of people, 99.9% of all the people who meditate and do yoga and are familiar with Kundalini Yoga, the book is, you know, totally new and different to 99.9%. You see that?
Yes.
You know, and you have to go back to the history of yoga. In other words, you know, yoga, you know, goes way back into the prehistory of India. And about 3,500 years ago, up until 3,500 years ago, India was a completely black civilization, African. You see that? And it was invaded and conquered about 3,500 years ago by Northerners, the Aryan people, the white people. You know, in other words, 3,500 years was a massive migration of Northerners, you know, into Europe, Southern Europe, and into India and, you know, Western Asia, and even into China, and then into Egypt and Ethiopia and, you know, Northern Africa. You know, people need to acquaint themselves that a lot of your major religions today are hybrids. You see that, you know, union of, you know, the spiritual beliefs of the northern invaders and the indigenous southern people. You see that. So yoga, you see, you know, goes back to prehistoric India before the northerners came. You see? And the yoga that we have today is a hybrid system. Hinduism is a hybrid, you know, compilation, a mixture of northern, okay, Aryan, and African, you know, spiritual practices, you see. And so the thing is that the yoga that people know today is not the yoga of the prehistory or the yoga before 3,500 B.C. I mean, I'm sorry, yoga of 3,500 years ago, meaning up until about that time. You see that? So when you have the chance to go into the historical records, you find that yoga as we know it today, Kundalini Yoga as we know it today, that has you know, that they speak of seven chakras. And most people who are into the chakra and Kundalini Yoga, they believe that there are only seven chakras. You see that? When you go into the yoga teachings before then, you find that there are 14 chakras, not seven. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a very simple, fundamental statement that if your spiritual body has 14 faculties, chakras are the faculties of the spirit, if it has 14 chakras or faculties, and you're only working with seven of them, you're not going to achieve your goals. You see that? If I give you a computer with half the parts, you're going to have difficulties. It's not going to perform as it should. And this is the state of yoga and meditation today. Meditation is not difficult. Kundalini Yoga is not difficult. This just has been, you know, misunderstood, meaning that the invaders came, you know, killed intelligentsia, killed a lot of the priests and priestesses, okay, and, you know, tried to destroy the tradition because the original yoga system, in those days, God was a woman. Today, when people speak of God, they say he. In those days, people, when they spoke of God, they say she. You see that? The Shakti, the Divine Mother. You see that? Kundalini is the Holy Spirit. You see, but when the, you know, invaders came, they, you know, they had to degrade the Divine Spirit into, you know, just a little serpent power within you that does a number of things. You see that? And we find, and the thing is that if you go into all the major religions and spiritual system, you find that it is male-oriented, patriarchal-oriented, and the female side of God is minimized, you know, or debunked, you know, or, you know, demoted. You see that?
Yes.
Okay, there's very little information about the Holy Spirit in Christianity and Judaism, in Quran, and so on. Everything is him, he. You see that? Now, the thing is that the spirit, the Divine Mother, corresponds to the power side of the spirit. The male side of the spirit is the, you know, the ideator, the thinker. You see that? But, you know, a very famous guru said that talk can cook the food. You need power. You need energy. So Kundalini, or the Holy Spirit, is the energy, you see, that is responsible for the manifestation of all things. And the thing is that there are 14 chakras, not seven. So in 1973, I founded Osaset in Harlem. In 1975, I came across a little book that, you know, outlined the 10 transformations of the Holy Spirit from the ancient yoga perspective, the teachings of the black people, who are to this day the Dalit. They are the outcasts, the lowest stratum of, you know, Indian civilization. You see that? Okay? So nobody wants to be bothered with their spiritual teachings. You know, no self-respecting, you know, scholar or spiritualist will sit at the foot of an outcast to learn spirituality. You see that? So the thing is that, you know, I immediately saw that this little book, and if you Google the 10, you know, powers of Kundalini, the 10 goddesses, you might come up with about maybe 4 or 5 books for a science that's been around thousands of years. It's incredible. You see that? So I come across this book, and I immediately recognize that the 10, you know, powers in which are the transformation of Kundalini, you see, represented the 10 Neteru of the Pot Neteru system of ancient Egypt, and the 10 spheres of the Hebraic tree of life, the Kabbalistic tree of life. You see that? And I began to see one-to-one connections between these 10 manifestations of Kundalini, the Holy Spirit from the Indian perspective, the black perspective, with the Pot Neteru of ancient Egypt, And it was with the mantras, those 10 mantras, that I was able to bring the Neteru to full life. You see that? Because you see, the mantras, you know, are tied into the Neteru, they're tied into chakras. And once you work correctly, we work with the mantras since 1975. To this day, using the Kemetic symbol system. You see that? Now, in a couple of years after working with the mantras, some of my female students, you know, were unhappy over the fact that they couldn't find husbands. You know, the young men that they were, you know, moving with, you know, they liked them, but they didn't want to marry them. So I created a mantra, you know, and I gave it to the ladies to chant, and they used some honeysuckle oil and some, you know, vetiver oil, and orris root oil and so forth, and they chanted this mantra. And in about 10 months, 26 of them, you know, had, you know, been, you know, they had proposals for marriage. See that? And a year later, I performed 22 marriage ceremonies on the same day in one place.
Wow. Wow.
So wow. That scared the heck out of me. I said, this mantra is too strong, you know, so I had to pull the mantras back. I said, I got to understand this better. Okay? Because, you know, the first time you put something out there, you know, and it works on that level, you know, you understand that. Okay?
Absolutely.
So, but I've been working with them, with thousands of people, with, you know, and if you go into my meditative volume 1 and 2, you know, it's all in there associated with the partner system. So for the past 43 years, we have been working with the mantras of Kundalini Yoga. You see that? But from an ancient Egyptian perspective. Now, working with the mantras, I was able to bring forth my medunitary oracle. I was able to elevate Osada Said from a local, you know, place in Harlem to an international organization. You see that? You know, I've written close to 40 books published, and you know, we have hundreds of thousands of people that have read my books and used the oracles, and I was able to also make corrections to the I Ching and come up with my own Bazi Qigong system and so forth. In other words, all knowledge that you need in life, you know, is stored in your spirit, in the different faculties of the spirit. You see that? And the knowledge of everything that you need is stored in the 9 faculties. The 9 of the 14 chakras store all the knowledge that you need in life and the powers to realize them. But these 9, you know, faculties, these 9 chakras have not been understood because 7 of them have been ignored by the gurus, you know, and so on, because of a bias. You understand that? Meaning, you know, these other 7, you know, mantras and chakras represent the teachings of the Dalit, the outcast. You see that?
Yes.
But, you know, I'm an outcast here in the Western world, so I have no problem with my brethren. I'm thankful for their wisdom. You see that? Okay? So in the past couple of years, I've been able to identify, you know, the 7 chakras that have been left out, okay, and, you know, and then map the 10 mantras of the, you know, of the transformations of the spirit from the Hindu perspective to, you know, 9 of the 14 chakras. And it immediately reveal an beautiful way of looking at the spirit from the chakra perspective, totally different from what people, you know, who are today, you know, running to these places to get in so-called chakra balancing and chakra purification and that kind of stuff and trying to raise Kundalini up to the highest center, you know. And the thing is that none of these people, you know, can say that they truly achieve, you know, the spiritual goals that is promised by chakra cleansing and purifying and raising Kundalini to the crown center. You know, some people say that they have experienced wonderful things, but we don't see the accomplishments. you know, we, in other words, if somebody's going to tell you that they accomplished something great with something, it cannot be a statement of a subjective experience. It has to be objectified in works. You see that? If I say to you that this Kundalini, you know, yoga system works, it's the objective, the evidence of it is all the books that I've written, all the spiritual teaching that I've brought enlightenment to. You see that? You know, the people follow me for 46 years around the world and so on. You know, I'm benefiting from the teachings. You see, in other words, the teachings have been verified in the students and things of that nature. I can bring you thousands of people that can say to you, I got a better job, I heal, I fix my marriage, you know, I improve my life, I achieve this by working with this system. You see that? So this is the background behind this new book, Life in Kundalini Yoga. It's a little practice manual, exercise manual for people to experience for themselves. It's a small book, but when you do the exercise in the book, there's going to be thousands and thousands of pages that the student will write from the verification, you know, of the system. So this is the background of the book. Sorry that it took so long.
That's thank you. Thank you so much for that, Sekhem Sekhem. Question concerning the title. I want to ask you further about the title. Part of the title is also self-realization and union with God. Mm-hmm. You know, again, we know in the West, oftentimes when people think of yoga, you know, they think of it as a, you know, a way to increase flexibility or, you know, just for the health of the body. You know, there again are those who, like you mentioned, have taken it to another level and said, okay, well, it's not just for that, you know, and they touched on the seven chakras. But in your title, you have self-realization and union with God. How does
you're very perceptive, young man. You're very perceptive, Yolanda. First of all, the word yoga translates into the English word yoke, union. You see that? Unification. So yoga is, you know, a system through which the union of two things take place. You see that? So yoga is a means through which the self, meaning you, consciousness, unite with yourself. Because right now people are not in union with themselves. It's a means through which you unite with, you know, different manifestations and expressions of your spirit. You see that? Okay?
Yes.
Patanjali, the major teacher of yoga in his book, the Yoga Sutras, says that yoga is union with God. But the thing is also union, you know, of the self with itself, union with God, and union with the 10 aspects of the spirit. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the meaning of the word yoga. You see that? And when you go through now this, the union of the self with itself, with God, and with different parts, aspects of the spirit, you see, there are several practices, you see that, that are auxiliaries to this goal. Of the many practices, one of these practices, you know, embodies the process to achieve the union, and that is called sanyama. Sanyama is there's nothing else but the approach to meditation in a manner that identifies the three stages of meditation and the three, you know, mantras that, you know, or frequencies that control each stage. So it is a frequency approach to meditation. You see that? Okay. So the thing is, you know, that's the only process and praxis that leads to union of the self with itself, with God, and with this aspect of the spirit, and so on. So if I'm doing Hatha yoga, let's say I enrolled in one of these ashrams, or, you know, one of these Bikram places, one of the master yoga places, you know, I pay my money, and so they lead me, they help me to get into the cobra pose and the different asanas, and they might teach me some mudras and so forth, you know. That's not yoga. You see that? Meaning that I can practice asanas and pranayama and all of these things, and yes, it will improve my health, it will improve my thinking, you know, it will help to settle my emotions, but I will, by those practices, I will not unite the self or with God or with, you know, one of the 10 aspects of the spirit. It's only the sanyama process that will unite, that I will achieve the, you know, what we call union or yoga. You see that? And this is important. I'm not mincing words here because, you know, if let's say I dedicate myself to, let's say, mastering what we call hatha yoga, thinking that at some point I'm going to experience union with God, I'm going to be very disappointed. You see that? If I'm going to, you know, meaning hatha yoga is a misnomer. The word yoga shouldn't be attached to hatha. You see that? Okay? As a matter of fact, the most celebrated book on so-called hatha yoga, okay, is the Hatha Pradipika that was written about a thousand years ago, you know, and it's the Hatha Pradipika by one of the sages and so on. And he made sure to call it a hatha practice as opposed to yoga. Patanjali in the Yoga Sutras, which is the master text for yoga, okay, which also has its deficiencies because, you know, Patanjali, okay, you know, he was already a Vedantin, meaning a yogi scholar who was biased towards the northern way of looking at things. You see that? Okay? And so even Patanjali makes a difference between sanyama and the yoga practices, which are the legs or adjuncts or support, you see, of the system, meaning that, you see, yes, if I engage in certain asanas to improve the flow of energy and things of that nature and to help my concentration, you know, and so on, those are auxiliaries, those are supportive practices, but until I master the frequencies that will awaken the spiritual faculties that governs the yogic meditation or the sanyama process, I will not achieve the union that yoga, you know, around which the definition of yoga is built. Meaning Patanjali said it very clearly, yoga is union of the self with God. It's union, but first the self must unite with itself. Consciousness must rest in consciousness to experience the true nature of the self, you see, which is, you know, a state of peace. Okay, and be able to unite with God. And no amount of pranayama, bastrika breathing and, you know, nadi shuddhi shodhana and, you know, and these things, you know, they're important adjuncts, but they're not going to help you to get there. You see that?
So the frequency is associated with a sound, or is the sound the frequency itself? Or is the, well, you understand the question, so is the frequency associated with
sound,
the sound?
What makes sounds different are frequencies. They're different than frequencies. You see that? That's why each mantra is a different frequency. You see that? And we can talk about, you know, states of consciousness from a frequency perspective, which, you know, which generated the entire binaural, you know, brainwave industry, right? In other words, you know, I can go on the internet and get a binaural beat, you know, 13 to 23, you know, beats per second or hertz, which will keep me in the beta or waking state. You see that? Or then I can go in 13 hertz, which will keep me in the alpha state. Then I can go further down, you know, between 3 and 7, which will put me in theta. And then between 1.3 and 3, which will put me into the delta state. And each of these brain waves, in other words, for me to go into different meditation states, I have to, you know, lower the frequency rate of the brain. You see that? Now, people can partially, you see, achieve this by using the brain entrainment technology of, you know, brain waves apps. Some of them are very good, some of them are very lousy. But this is an external device that is helpful. But, you see, they don't really fully activate the chakras that control the three stages of meditation. You see that? Now, there are three mantras, Hring, you know, Aung, and Duhung, which corresponds to the Hrit chakra, one of the chakras that is not mentioned in, or was mentioned as a minor chakra, and Aung, which is the Ajna chakra, not properly understood and taught, and then the Visarga chakra, which is totally unknown to 99% of gurus, which is the mantra Duhung, which would take you into, you know, the lowest levels of dhyana into samadhi and into the both forms of samadhi. You see that? So, you know, so whereas, you know, yogis and so-called meditation experts speak of, you know, the stages of meditation, meaning, you know, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi, you know, to be approached as efforts of the will. In other words, they say to you, okay, no, you have to get the skill to enter dhyana. And they say, now empty your mind. No, you don't make the effort to empty your mind. You know, when you make an effort, when you're meditating, you are trying to remove, you see, the part of you that makes an effort. Because
yes.
You see, you
yes.
want to get to the effortless stage. You want to deactivate the will to allow consciousness to be independent of effort, because effort is tension, keeps you on the external plane. You see that? So when you know, and concentrate to put a mantra in place, that mantra will activate a faculty which will automatically do the job. Meaning if I bite off an apple now, you know, the swallowing follows automatically, the digestion and assimilation follows automatically. So if I awaken the faculty that governs dhyana and samadhi and I strengthen them, you know, these faculties will then now, you know, put me in the proper states, in the stages of meditation. So this is meditation as was taught and practiced, you see, in ancient times in India. And this information has been lost to the world for about 3,500 to 4,000 years. So this book, Light and Kundalini Yoga, is bringing back an age-old, you know, knowledge that has been suppressed. You see that when the Northerners came, they massacred the priestesses, the queen mothers, you know, the priests, the people, and they tried to destroy all the books and so forth. Okay? So all the guru, the ancient teachers, they didn't call themselves gurus. They call themselves rishis. You see that? Okay? And so they ran into the forest. They ran in. When you hear all these things about the sage in India, you know, who's a forest dweller, you know, and is impoverished, and is living in the mountains, you know, there's no vow of poverty and, you know, seclusion there is, you know, in the ancient black teachings. You know, the sage in ancient, you know, India, as in Africa, is a family man. He's a husband, he's a father, he's a grandfather. He's living a holistic life, okay? And, you know, I wrote all of these books and gave the world all these teachings. I'm a grandfather. You know, I'm not like this guy, Siddhartha Gautama, that left his wife and his children, okay, to pursue enlightenment. Enlightenment comes when, you know, the husband challenges the wife to be spiritual, when the wife challenges the husband to be spiritual. You know what I'm saying? When your children challenges you to be spiritual and to spiritualize them, that's how enlightenment comes to you. You see that? You have to stay in the world to learn the challenges of life. You see that? And a lot of people don't understand there's a lot of confusion in yoga because there is a Vedantic tradition and a Tantric tradition. The Tantric tradition is the ancient black Shramanic tradition. And when I say Tantric, please take the sex out of it because the original and true Tantra is not about having sex, okay, to raise Kundalini. Okay, that is nothing else but, you know, something that people, you know, got in with a left turn that took place in ancient times by certain people who, you know, mistook symbolism for physical reality. along with
yes,
human sacrifice, which is sacrificing human ideals, which was misunderstood, and millions of humans have been, sacrificed, literally. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
To improve life and, animal sacrifice, the same thing, killing a goat and a chicken to make money for yourself and save yourself. It cannot work that way. You see that? So the tantric tradition of the black people, taught the world, that life is to be lived in its fullness, and life is to be mastered. You got to master life. You see that? But the Vedantins, the Aryan, the Northerners could never understand it because they didn't have all seven chakras. You see that? So they thought that suffering could never be overcome, so they were trying to do something so that they don't have to be reborn again. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that, when you go back and put the seven chakras that were left out, don't forget, there are 14, not seven chakras. This is important, right? This is important. Okay? If you buy a computer from Best Buy right now and it's not working properly, and the technician says to you, oh, that's because we gave you half a computer. It only has half the parts in it. You want your money back, don't you? Give me a full computer. So the thing is that the chakras that were left out are the chakras that are responsible for you, your ability to unite with God, to unite yourself with yourself, to unite your consciousness with the faculties of your spirit, and the faculties to achieve, self-realization. That's why the title of the word, the book is, subtitled is Union with God and Self-Realization. You see that?
Yes.
And, the way they teach yoga today, Kundalini yoga today, where they give you the Ajna chakra, Sahasra chakra, and then the five lower chakras, the five lower chakras are animal brain centers, okay? And the symbols are animals. You see that? Elephant, a crocodile, a ram, a goat, okay? And, a swine and so on. So the whole thing is that, the five lower chakras are psychic centers. They're not spiritual. They're psychic. They are the vehicles of the animal brain, the animal evolutionary inheritance. You see that? We don't get rid of them because they're integrally connected with our physiological processes. You see that? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But being animals, no amount of work on the five lower chakras, the so-called root chakra and sex chakra and heart chakra and, solar plexus chakra and the throat, no amount of work on those chakras can enlighten you because they're animal centers. They're animal intelligence centers, animal powers centers. They cannot enlighten you to man because they're animals. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
They cannot take it to your divinity because they're animals.
So then, for example, you have the seven divisions of the spirit and the two lowest, the Kab and the Kybet. Would it be a prerequisite then for someone to have this knowledge and, perfect it, to raise the Kundalini before they can move beyond the Kab and the Kybet as they ascend up the seven divisions of the spirit to the highest division?
Your question comes from a paradigm that has to be, eliminated. Okay?
Okay.
In other words, raising Kundalini is an error. The chakras, are like, electronic devices. You have your light, your lamp in your living room, you have your radio and your television. And you're wired up to Con Edison, right? You're wired up to the electric, power grid. When you want to turn your TV on, you don't jump in your car, drive down to the electric power station, and turn the power station on. You just flip the switch on your TV. You understand that?
Correct.
Meaning that
yes.
If you want to, open up, get your Ajna chakra to work, chant the mantra Om. If you want to get the Guru chant to work, chant the mantra Om. You see that? If you want to get information and energy up to the crown center, you chant the mantra Dhum. You see that?
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Okay, meaning that... okay? So, it's a different paradigm altogether. Okay?
Okay. So we've been focusing on raising Kundalini instead of awakening the chakra center.
What you need to do, my beloved, is to research, and this is an assignment that you could do since you have that microphone for the public. Okay, you can do a tremendous service to the world. Research all the books you can find on the biographies of top gurus that document the benefits they got from raising the Kundalini. And if for something, for science has been around for 1,000 years, if you can find more than 5, it speaks volumes to the idea of raising Kundalini. And one of the most celebrated one, you know, got very sick from his attempts to raise Kundalini, you know, through certain hatha yogic, you know, practices. You see that? And the most celebrated text on raising, you know, Kundalini is the Hatha Pradipika by Smatarama. You see that? And when and I encourage everybody to read that book, you know, Hatha Pradipika, you know, there's a, I think, guy named Gunther, or a German guy that translated it from the Sanskrit into German, and somebody did it in English, you know, which is a faithful translation of the Hatha Pradipika, which is the book on Hatha Yoga, not the books by Iyengar and these people. I'm talking about, because you see, you know, most of 99.9% of the people who write books on Hatha Yoga and have these yogic centers around town, they're not really teaching Hatha Yoga. Hatha Yoga, the asanas are preparation for, you know, the real Hatha Yoga, which is pranayama, meaning the control of the breath. You see that? Because
right.
Breath control is what enables you to force Kundalini to rise. You see that? And, you know, and the techniques for making Kundalini, making, controlling the breath to force the life force, okay, up through the nervous system, okay, it's very dangerous. So read the book and you will see. You see that? And that's why you will find that, you know, if raising Kundalini was a reality, then you should find thousands of yogis, you know, writing clearly, you know, about it. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
So is the concept
That's part of a failed tradition. There's the yoga and Kundalini yoga is a teachings of the pre-Hindu India. Raising Kundalini is a teaching of the Hindu India.
So would blocked chakras come out of that that false premise as well? When people say, you know, because those who have written these books talk about blocked chakras. Would that come
blockages are nothing but psychological blockages, psychic blockages, right? Meaning that, you know, the Muladhara chakra is the source of your instincts, your instinctive nature. And some people have, you know, they have problems with their instincts. You see that? But my brother, look, you know, I think we have gone beyond the time for Urai Medu to come in and talk about his event. You know?
Certainly,
and
I will extend the time on the other side, but thank you.
Come.
I know you've got to. I appreciate you extending and offering us, giving us a bit more than we had actually planned for Shechem or Shechem.
Well,
thank you so much, everybody.
I'm looking forward to meeting all of them in Washington, D.C. this weekend and at the end of the month in Philadelphia. You know? And
absolutely.
Any
parting words for our listeners today, Shechem?
Excuse me?
Any parting words for our listeners today?
Well,
before you go.
Well, Kundalini Yoga is a practical science. It's a science. You're working with energy. You see that? So get the book, you know, and, you know, read it several times and then do the practice. Just don't intellectualize. You see that? You got to work with the mantras and the dhyanas, the teachings for each chakra and each mantra, and you will intuit knowledge about yourself and about life and about the world, okay? And people need to know, people want to know, where did I get my information from these mantras that are in this book, And the same answers from a different perspective are my meditative volume 1-7. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
So let's get it going.
Thank you so much, Shekhar Shekhar. Again, Anetarak to you for all of the work that you've done, for all of the books that you've given us, for all of the knowledge that you have given to us and shared with us. You know, we thank you so much, and I know I speak for all of the listeners when I say, you know, thank you so much to Ahu for you, and may Natea continue to bless you as you continue to humble yourself and, you know, continue to share and continue to do your work that we have benefited from so much. To Ahu, thank you so much.
Yes, sir, we have to reclaim our spiritual knowledge. It's the only thing that will liberate us.
Absolutely. Well, you're certainly helping us to do that.
That's my job.
You're certainly helping us. You're welcome to come back on the show anytime, my brother. Thank you again.
Thank you very much. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. Okay, waiting for now. Orwa, hey, Meduran, comment. If you're on the line, all you have to do is press 1, and then I can bring you on board, and we can talk about the awesome book signing that's going to be taking place in Washington, D.C. on the 16th of September. Okay, let's see. Let me go here. Hetepu, last 4 digits, 2190. You're on the air.
Hetepu, how are you doing?
2190. You're on
this
the air.
Orwa, hey, Medu.
All right. Thank you so much. Orwa, wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on. That was a fabulous interview with Shekhar Meshekhar, and it is the prelude to an awesome book signing and celebration that's going to be taking place on September the 16th in Washington, D.C. Everybody, we want you to know that this is going to be awesome. If you're in the area, you need to be there. Brother Orwa, can you tell us about the event that's going to be taking place?
Well, as you said, it's going to be this Sunday, September 16th, 4 p.m. It's going to be at 6224 3rd Street Northwest in Washington, D.C. 4 p.m. will be the book signing, and 5 p.m. Shekhar Meshekhar will do a lecture, explain the book to give everyone further insight to the book prior to reading it. Books will be on sale there. There will be also food available, and everyone can come that afternoon, bring your family, come and learn and just share in the spirit.
You know, I heard that there was an unveiling of the book at a retreat, I believe it was, and that there was just so much knowledge that was I was told that I should have been there, you know, that there was so much knowledge and so much, information that was shared. And I think that when it comes to information like this, it needs to be driven home the point that this information can actually change your life, you know, and in some cases, it can save your life. I mean, this is information that, I mean, we have families, we have children, we have relatives. I mean, and just being reminded that, for example, in this particular book, it stated that there are 14 chakras instead of 7. It's like, you know, imagine somebody operating, we're supposed to have 5 senses, but we're operating with 2 or operating with 3. You can imagine the disadvantage that you could be under, you know, with those limitations. You know, could you talk about that, Orwa? Just the information and the potential that the information has to transform your life as being a reason. Just because of the potential alone, you need to attend the book signing.
Well, we don't even have to imagine. We have 100% of our brain, and scientists say most people use less than 10%. And we see the world, the state the world is in today. So if we're going to transform our experiences, transform our existence, then we got to transform how we go about doing what we do. If you want to get the same thing, you're going to keep doing the same thing. If you want to change something, you got to change something. And what changes our understanding and practical applications of spiritual science, because it is a science. It's like chemistry is a science, and you mix the wrong chemicals, you get the wrong result. Well, if you haven't been taught how to combine chemicals, you're not going to be able to generate the kinds of results that you need to generate to make the things you want to make. So the same thing is true in spiritual science. If we're only given, if there's 14 pieces to the recipe, and we're only given seven, then wonder why the world's in the state that it's in today. So this work by Shechem and Shechem is great, a great practical work, and we must emphasize the practical piece of it, because life is about living. It's not about hearing. It's not about understanding. It's about practicing. So once we learn and get the information and practice it, put it to practice in our lives, and we see the transformations that we can make in our lives, then we can truly make change the world. If we're going to change the world, we've got to change how we look at the world, how we go about the world, but understand the African understanding of spirituality and applying that spirituality, the understanding of spirituality, to transforming our experiences.
You know, I am just, you know, excited, again, about the new book. Again, when I heard that he had a new book out, you know, it was like, wow. You know, I almost felt ashamed because it's like, you know, he's written 1,000 books and I haven't written one yet, you know. You know, it's like, gosh, we got to help this brother do the work, you know. So I want to just encourage everybody, again, if you're in D.C. or if you're not even in D.C., you know, if you're around D.C., and even if you're not around D.C., you can come in from wherever you are. I mean, you think about the places we go on vacation. I mean, we'll jump on a plane and, you know, go somewhere to, on a vacation and just chill, okay? Well, if you can do that and you just happen to hear this information and you're like, you know what, this information does have the potential to transform my life. And you won't know unless you actually experience it, unless you actually take the principles, take the mantras, do the work, and see. And so if you can jump on a plane and fly overseas somewhere to just chill, then you can jump on a plane and fly to D.C., okay, to meet Shechem or Shechem, take part in this awesome celebration, and just, you know, help in celebrating another work by an awesome, awesome, not just a scholar. I mean, Shechem or Shechem is so much more than just a scholar. You know, this is a brother that when history is written, okay, he will be going down in the annals of history, okay? And while you have an opportunity in your lifetime to meet this brother, to shake this brother's hand, to sit and learn and be open to be taught, then you need to be in Washington, D.C. on Sunday, September the 16th. The book signing begins at 4 p.m. There will be a lecture at 5, correct, Brother Owa?
Correct.
Okay, there will be a lecture beginning at 5 p.m. And if you'd like more information, please contact 202-630-2507. Again, that's 202-630-2507. The admission is only $10, okay? Only $10 for a book signing and a lecture from Shechem or Shechem, Dr. Raul Nefer Amen. Remember who he is. This is the author of the Meduna Tear series, okay? This is the author of Stress Free for Life, okay? This is the author of Bazi Fundamentals, you know, and so many more books, okay? Then you owe it to yourself, you owe it to your own existence to be there. And again, that's going to be at the Synbeb Wellness Complex in Washington, D.C. That is at 6224 3rd Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C. The zip code, in case you need to MapQuest it, is 20011. For more information, again, please call 202-630-2507. Anything, did I leave out anything or while concerning the event on the 16th?
Well, no, but, you know, there's also the event on the 30th of September in Philadelphia.
Oh.
So if they can't make it to
D.C.,
we'd love to see them there. They got 2 more weeks to prepare to get to Philly.
Well, you know what? That's a great segue because I've got Amtahudikamo is waiting in the wings to talk about that event. Okay, so everybody, again, you got 2 parties. Okay, you know, they always say back in the day, they used to say, where the party at? Okay, well, there's going to be 2 book parties, okay? 2 book signing celebrations. It's going to be a party, right? And you need to be there, too. If you miss the one in D.C., which you're not going to miss, you're going to definitely catch the one in Philadelphia. And you know what? You can do both, Okay, just because you go to one doesn't mean you can't go to both. Just because you go to one book party doesn't mean that doesn't preclude you from going to another, okay? So, I mean, we used to go to parties, we leave one and go to another one right back in the day, so, hey, why not? Give you 2 weeks to prepare. So, Brother Orwell, again, thank you so much for coming on and sharing. Really appreciate you and all of the work that you've done as well to help spread the message of the ancient Kemetic teachings under the tutelage of Shechem Shechem, Dr. Rahun Nefer. Amen. Thank you so much, my brother.
Etep. Twal.
Etep. Okay, I'm going to be bringing on now to discuss the book signing in Philadelphia. I'm Tahuti Kamo. Are you with us, my brother?
Yes, sir. Juwanza. Etepu. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings, my brother. Wow. This is... I'm kind of numb with all the information that's being shared. I mean, Shechem Shechem gave an awesome interview. He gave us more time than we actually had anticipated. Really, really, really laid it out for those who, heard it. I know if you haven't gotten the book yet, you definitely want to get the book, and we'll be telling you how you can do that as well. But there's going to be another book party in Philadelphia on September the 30th. So, Brother Orwell, would you please share with us the particulars surrounding that event?
Sure. Well, first I want to thank you, Brother Juwanza, for continuing to be a source of light in our community. And I know the blessings of Ma'at are with you as we enter into the Ma'at cycle. You know, one thing that we've been taught by our teacher is that to know truth, you have to live it. Was the axiom of our ancient ancestors. And I happened to be one of those people that was in those 22 couples when we got hit with that mantra back in 1982. So we have definitely verified the power of the system and Shechem Shechem's mastery of the system. And also, as I shared with you earlier, this book was actually released at our spiritual retreat. And I want to say Dwau to the great Owa Heyi Madu, Ron Kamet and his family for organizing. I don't know what year. I believe it's over 30-some-odd years we've been having spiritual retreat. And this was the first time we had a book released at the retreat. And the retreat was an experience of working with the information in the book with over 300 people there. And the reason we're so excited about it is that, you know, unlike the Medina Tea Volume 1 or so forth, where, you know, you might have to read it three times to be able to get a grasp on it and then still need a lot of guidance in order to put it into practice, this book is so practical. It tells you step by step what you have to do. It actually has a curriculum at the back, you know, week by week of the exercises that you need to do. And we got a chance to experience this at the retreat and see the results immediately. People that had problems meditating, that had mental chatter, that couldn't focus, you know, for the first time applying this, got up at the end of the meditation and, you know, had incredible revelations. So I really urge everybody who's listening to you to come to one or both of these events in D.C., in Philadelphia, because this is it's a turn. It's a turning point for our community, for the Black community, and for the world to have a practical system that gives immediate results like this in a very clear and simple way. So, yes, in Philadelphia, on the 29th and the 30th, we're having a Kundalini Yoga weekend. Shechem Shechem will be with us on Sunday, the 30th of September at 4 p.m. for his book signing and his keynote address. And we're going to precede his keynote address with four workshops to help people to get a jump start on actually implementing. It's all about implementation, as he was sharing, you know, the information that he gave in the book. So if you're able to make it to Philadelphia, we have some excellent accommodations if you want to stay over. By the time you leave Philadelphia after these five sessions, you will have full control over how to implement the system, and you'll already be experiencing the results. So if you'd like more information about that, you can go to AusarsetPA.com. That's AusarsetPA, like Pennsylvania, .com. Sign up for our email list, and you can also see the information about the workshops. And that entire weekend is $25 for all the workshops and the book signing. And also, I want to urge people to go to TaoiNetwork.com right now and order their book and get to work on it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's truly amazing to me, as you know, we talked earlier about how, you know, just when you think you've got it all, Chekhem Eshekhem comes out with another book, you know, and it really speaks to just, I was thinking about it earlier, it's like, wow, here you have a brother who has really, I guess, I'm trying to find the right word, committed is part of the word, part of the thought, but himself to realizing or becoming a vessel for God or becoming one with God. And as a result of that, the information that flows through him, but when I think about it, and he would say the same thing, that we all share in that potential, you know. Mm-hmm. We look at Chekhem Eshekhem and we marvel, you know, about mm-hmm. the books that come through him, the wisdom that comes through him. But he would tell you that mm-hmm. that is all of our, you know what I mean? We all have the potential. He told me once that if you want to do the same thing, then you could just do what I did. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we marvel at him, then, and he's saying, look, this is how you do it. You want to become mm-hmm. enlightened? You want to realize your God consciousness? This is how you do it. Then we have to follow that, you know. We have to take that information and put it into practice and not just walk around spiritual, you know. I mean, a lot of times people, we feel that once we get a little information, you know, that, you know, we walk around with that and we're proud to have this information. We're proud to learn something new. And we can walk around, and if we're not careful, then we can just be satisfied with having the information and feeling special mm-hmm. because we've information, but the information doesn't do you any good if it's not transforming your lives. Your thought?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, one thing that people have often asked me, like, how do you know, what is a sage? You know, what is an enlightened being? What is a God man? What is a God woman? You know, and I would say, I don't know, but you can judge by the evidence that is produced from somebody's life as to what level of enlightenment they reach. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to find another person who has given evidence to us as Chekhem Eshekhem has. I mean, he's produced an oracle that's guided the lives of thousands and thousands of people over a period of over 30 years. So we have empirical evidence of what we would call a sage, an enlightened being. He's gone into so many different subject matters, and every subject matter that he endeavors into, he produces an enlightened understanding of it that just blows you away. So, you know, he's shown us that enlightenment is something that bears fruit, and he's certainly done that. And to your point about, you know, another book, it's mind-blowing, but to me the deepest part of it is that they're all consistent. It's not like you go into Meditare Volume 1, written back in 1970, you know, something, and there's something mm-hmm. there that's different from what he's saying now. It's just that
right.
he knew he had the same insight back then, but is presenting a further explanation, a deeper revelation of it to us, given what time and circumstance that we're in. So you can read all 7 volumes of the Medunatare and all his other works, and you won't find any contradictions. To me, that's what blows your mind, is that, wait a minute, I've heard this before, but, oh, now there's 10 deeper layers that just were not revealed at that time. So as you can tell, we're very excited, and being a person who's been had the honor of being his student for these many decades, and then also the honor of being entrusted to teach for many years. I would just let everybody know that this is another level. That if you haven't to this point really dedicated yourself to implementing the works and the knowledge that's in his teachings and his writings and his books, it's in his classes, his lectures, this is your time, because there's no other time where you would receive such immediate, dramatic results. And I think the state of the world, the state of the country, the state of our people, you know, is the reason why that this is being revealed to our community at this time. And it allows us to understand the scope of the Black experience. You know, we talk about cultural appropriation, you know, and we have no idea that, you know, the things that our ancestors, be it those in the Nile Valley civilization, be it those in, you know, that left that area and went into Black India, be it those that went into China, the things that we have experienced and looked at coming from those countries, we have no idea of the depth of it and the relationship to our own ancestry. And that's the wonderful thing that he's dedicated his life to sharing with us. So, again, I would just urge everybody to go to TAWI Network. If you're not familiar with that website, it's TAUINetwork.com. And you can order your book right now and receive that and start working on, or go to D.C. and buy your book there, or make it to our Philadelphia event. And then above all, as he said, you know, practice. Just put it into practice, and you will reap the rewards.
Can you please give the information again on how people can get more information about the Philadelphia event for those who are planning on coming to the Philadelphia after, I'm going to just say it, after you leave the D.C. event.
That's right. Sure. Well, you can go. Okay, you can go to our website at osarasetpa.com, AUSARASETPA.com. You should get a box that pops up to invite you to our email. As soon as you do that, we'll have your contact information, be able to send you your registration link. And by the way, we will also be broadcasting that, live streaming that event. So those of you that, for whatever reason, cannot make it to D.C., you can't make it to Philadelphia, you'll be able to sit in with us in most of the workshops. We're going to be doing an actual Surya Namaskar and Ra Qigong in the park on Sunday morning. So that won't be broadcast, but everything else will be. So you'll be able to participate online just as if you're sitting there with us. So you can get all that information by signing up on our mailing list, and you can also give us a call at 215-843-0900. That's 215-843-0900. And give us a call, please, after between 2 and 8 p.m. Any day this week.
Alora, I want to thank you as well for all of the work that you've done over the decades, teaching and sharing the information that you've learned at the feet of Shechem Meshechem, Dr. Ra, Unnefer Amen, and can pray that Nater continues to open doors for you as you continue to share and teach and learn, because obviously, you know, there has to be a commitment present for you to, all these decades later, you know, still be learning and still teaching, and we really appreciate everything that you've done and will continue to do. Thank you to all of the priests and priestesses in the Osaraset Society, the Shechems and Orwas and Shechems and Orwats, you know, that give of themselves and, you know, make sacrifices to get this information out, to teach and to share and to love. And, you know, we really appreciate the examples that you all have set for us as a people, and I just cannot overstate it enough. Your work is definitely, definitely appreciated. I want to give the information about the D.C. Party again. For those who may have just been tuning in, there's going to be a Light on Kundalini Yoga book release party on Sunday, September the 16th in Washington, D.C. The book signing starts at 4 p.m. and the lecture starts at 5 p.m. Of course, Dr. Raul Nefarmin Shekamashekam is going to be the lecturer, and they're going to be talking about his brand new book. Well, he's going to be discussing his brand new book, Light on Kundalini Yoga. Okay, so you don't want to miss that. And the address there is 6224 3rd Street, Washington, D.C. The zip code there, that's Northwest Washington, D.C., by the way. And the zip code there is 20011 in case you need to MapQuest it. For more information, please call 202-630-2507. Again, that's 202-630-2507. The admission is only $10. I can't believe it. I mean, even as I'm reading this, you know, it's only $10 to attend a book signing. This is a book release party with Shekamashekam, Dr. Raul Nefarmin, and a lecture. You know, I mean, it's so affordable. It's almost free. You know, it's almost like I want to say the lecture is $10 and the book signing is free, or the book signing is free and the lecture is free. I mean, you might as well say it's free. All you have to do is get there, and that's going to be Sunday, September the 16th. The book signing is at 4 p.m. The lecture starts at 5. And for more information, please call 202-630-2507. Again, that's going to be at 6224 3rd Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20011. Now, while I have everybody on the phone, I just want to first thank you so much. Don't go away yet, because I want to tell you about the archives, okay? We've got an archives here that is out of this world. If you loved what you heard today, we've got shows with Dr. Amen in the archives. So if you're listening online and you're not a follower of Jawanza for Life, also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine, there's a button that, and all you have to do is just click it. The button says follow. And if you click that button, then you will be a follower of the show. And every time there is a show, you'll be notified of the guest, the topic, the date, and the time. Okay? Now, if you scroll down the archives, you will find shows with Shekamashekam, Dr. Raul Nefarmin. We've done shows on Stress-Free for Life. We did a show on Maduna Tear 7 when that came out. We've done shows on, you go down the list, you'll see the shows. Stress-Free for Life, you will be amazed. We've got shows with the two people that you just heard after Shekamashekam, Owa Ehid Meduran Comet. We've got shows with him on the 11 laws of God. You ever wondered what the 11 laws of God were? You've heard of them. You've gotten the book, Ma'at, the 11 laws of God. Scroll down there and click wherever you see his name, and you will be amazed at the information that you're going to get just on the 11 laws of God. We've done a series with Owa Ehid Meduran Comet on the 7 divisions of the Spirit. Okay, you heard me reference that in the show today. There are 7 divisions to the Spirit, okay? You want to know what they are? Scroll down the archives. We've done shows with Owa Amtahudi Kamo. Oh, my God. You want to grow? Okay, wherever you see his name, scroll down the archives. Wherever you see his name, click it, okay? And you'll be definitely rewarded for the time that you spend listening, because by the time you finish listening, you're going to go back, you're going to listen again, I'm telling you already, then you're going to share it with somebody else, just like you would a good meal. You're like, this is good, so-and-so needs to hear this, and then you'll share it. We've done shows with Hekshem Suheru, Shekameyeb Neter, awesome shows on the equinoxes and other shows. The list goes on. I could just go on and on. Shechem Em Hetra Hem Ma'at. We did shows with Queen Mother, Mashtam Amen, or Queen Mother, Mashtam Amen. All of these shows are in the archives, okay? Shows with Sanupara Keparang, our beloved brother, Sanupara Keparang. Shows on Bazi astrology, all in the archives, okay? You just got to go, and you'll be rewarded, trust me. We've got shows on holistic health in the archives. So if you're not a follower of the show, I invite you, click follow, and you'll be notified every time we do another show, okay? Everybody, again, I just want to take the time to thank you for tuning in. It's clear that you want to grow because the phone lines are packed. When you heard Shechem or Shechem was coming on, you responded. And you could have been doing something else, but it lets me know that what I'm doing is worthwhile, okay? I'm happy to be able to bring you priests and priestesses of the Osiris Set Society. I'm happy to be able to bring you the Shechem of Shechem of the Osiris Set Society. And when I see that you respond like that, it makes me feel good. So I thank you so much for the feeling that you all gave me today just by tuning in. I certainly appreciate you. So don't forget, September the 16th in D.C., there's going to be a party. Where the party at? In D.C. on September the 16th. Where? 6224 3rd Street Northwest. That's the Simbev Wellness Complex. There's going to be a book celebration, a book signing, a celebration. Shechem Shechem's got a brand new book, and it's called Light on Kundalini Yoga. You thought there was only 7 chakras, didn't you? Well, guess what? You're about to learn some information that can transform your life. And then after that, we're going to another party in Philly, right? That's on September the 30th. Okay, so you want to make sure that you are at both. Now go to Osiris Set PA. Okay, if you're on Facebook, go to Osiris Set PA, and you'll definitely get information on the party that's going to be in Philadelphia on the 30th. Okay, and between now and then, get the book. Okay, you can go that. You can do that now. You can go to Tawi Network. Okay, and get the book. And you'll be ready to party when the party starts, all right? My name is Juwanza. Thank you so much for your time. I do certainly appreciate you. Au revoir. Thank you so much. Au revoir. Hey, Meduran Common. Thank you, my brother. Au revoir. I'm Tahuti Kamo. Thank you, my brother. And everybody, again, thank you so much for your time. My name is Juwanza. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you? At Tepu.